Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
He started to ask a lot of like really invasive questions about my past, specifically about the skin color of the guys who I've been with in the past.
Stop.
Did I know what he was getting at? Yes, but like, say it with your chest. If you're gonna ask me a question like that, then just ask the question.
It's just a question, theoretically, but some questions are more revealing than any answer you could give in return. Welcome to season 8, episode 11 of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week, our guest says her boyfriend asked her a shocking question that hovered over her their entire relationship. And of course, these breakup stories always come to me via submission. I have a form in the episode description you can head down to. So if you want to submit a story tip, whether it's yours, a friend's, you want to nominate somebody you've seen on social media, or you want me to get a little messy and slide into someone's DMs and ask if they want to come on the podcast, I don't mind doing that too. Wherever the story comes from, we don't care. We just want to hear what happened and also get some good lessons along the way. And if you want to jump to a certain part of the interview, timestamps are in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. Appreciate you tuning in. This week, we've got an interview from someone who says their relationship began to crumble after one question that she wasn't expecting or prepared to answer, honestly. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week we are shouting out the Crisis Line Safe House of Central Georgia in Macon. They're a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting victims of domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, stalking, and of course, helping with their children as well. For more details on the organization and how you can help out, head to the episode description. Okay, so this week's submission is another one that I am kind of loosely tied to. I traveled to Ireland. There was one girl with us who had just gotten into this serious relationship. I remember like when we first met her, she had talked about this guy that she had met at work, but she wasn't like super into him at first, but she's like, you know what? I'm kind of sussing it out. Like he seems like he could be a good guy. All the things, you know, how you kind of talk yourself into something when you think there might be a little bit of potential. And then I remember when we actually went to Ireland, there had been a little bit of drama with the boyfriend. I can't remember specifically what we gabbed about. I mean, you know, we're girls on a trip. I'm sure we were drunk on Guinness or something. And then we get back from the Ireland trip. And it wasn't just her. It was like every girl that had gone on the trip, every single one of their boyfriends had dumped them. And I'm like, oh my God, did they have to wait until the end of the trip? Like we could have girl bossed our way into the clubs, wreaking absolute havoc on these men in the best of ways. But instead, like everybody was wiped up on this trip. And so they broke up. And I remember she had to move out of his apartment that she had moved into. And I remember it being pretty quick. And then we did another little trip a couple months later. And she's like, yeah, I think I'm getting back with him. And I just remember this relationship was so turbulent. And I hadn't known that they had gotten back together and then broken up again, because I put out on my Instagram story, I was like, listen, like I am in desperate need for some stories. I feel like I'm just recycling some similar content over and over again. Like I need some new fresh stories. And she actually swiped up and I was so delightfully gagged. I was like, oh my God, it's been so long since we've talked. And she's like, listen, you know, that guy I was telling you about who like dumped me right after Ireland, I'm dying to talk about what happened just because I'm still just reeling from everything. So I was like, by all means, girl, like, come on, let's gab. But we should have been doing this a year ago. So we hopped on an interview and she gave me all the details as to why he dumped her right after Ireland and why they got back together. And truly like what led to this final turbulent relationship coming to an end. Let's get into it when we break down this week's breakup.
We actually worked together for 2 years before we started dating. And we were just coworkers. We never like hung out outside of work. Honestly, first impression of him, thought this man was ugly AF. Not even gonna lie, like not interested in the slightest, but he would always like try to talk to me like at work. Like pretty much every morning there was this like giant beanbag next to my desk and he would come sit by and like always try to find something to talk about. But I pretty much like swerved him for like 2 years. Things changed when we moved offices and I found out that he was helping one of our managers with like the seating chart for where everybody was going to sit in the new office. And he told me this later, which I thought it was like kind of creepy, but kind of sweet. He said that he like suggested that we sit next to each other. So we sat next to each other and definitely like struck up a friendship. And I was like, well, like maybe I was wrong about this guy. Like, cause he was kind of douchey. Like he was a bartender before. I heard he had like some baby mama drama. So I was just kept him at a distance. But once we started sitting next to each other, I was like, I actually like him a lot. And finally he asked me to like hang out outside of work. So we went to get pedicures and espresso martinis, which like that's the way to my heart, of course. We started hanging out a lot. I remember I was at that time, I was like going through a Reputation era. So I was like listening to that album on repeat and he like learned the lyrics to some of my favorite songs that I had talked about. He would leave gifts in my car, like just drop a Celsius off at my desk, just all the sweet things to really endear himself to me. We started hanging out more. And then he flew me to Vegas, maybe like 2 weeks after we started hanging out. We're not official, hadn't even kissed yet. Went to Vegas. And this is like what really kind of made me feel like I could trust him was that we went to Vegas. He didn't like pressure me at all to have sex. And which is kind of like the bare minimum, but I felt like, what guy is going to like fly a girl out to Vegas, pay for the flight, the hotel, buy all the dinners, do all the things and like not expect that in return or not even make a move? But he didn't, because I had made it clear that, you know, I had been single for a while, been through a bad breakup before. So like I was not trying to rush into anything or like even just hook up casually, especially with a coworker. He did all the things. Like he, like I said, he left gifts in my car, gave me flowers for no reason, like just normal love bombing things that people do.
Yeah, well, he sounds like a good guy. And I say he sounds like a good guy because I know we're here for a reason. So Tell me when you first started noticing that things were a little off, like at what point in the relationship did you start seeing the red flags?
Yeah, so when things started to change was pretty quickly after we moved in together. He started becoming like pretty controlling. Honestly, in the beginning, I had made it a real priority to make sure that I spent time with my friends and like had my own life. In my last relationship, I felt like I had really lost myself and I isolated myself and I wasn't a good friend. And I wanted to make sure that the next go around, like I keep that a priority to keep my friends at the top. But it got to the point where I was never seeing them because every time it was a problem. I didn't give him enough notice. I gave him too much notice. So he forgot. Like, and it just became, every time I tried to do something with my friends, I was choosing them over him. So that was one thing. He also started becoming controlling about what I would wear, especially if I wasn't with him. He would get upset if I basically just like looked good and he wasn't around. That was really it. He also like didn't want me to, we were at a work conference. He didn't want me to like walk around without a bra, like just going down the hall in the hotel, like just to get ice or something. Like couldn't do that, even though I didn't like run past a soul. That was an issue. It was a whole thing. It was disrespectful of me to do that. It just felt like it started getting to the point where I felt like I couldn't do anything right. I wasn't planning enough dates. I wasn't spending enough time with him. Like, and when I would plan dates though, he would ruin it somehow. Like he was in a bad mood every time. Things like really, they started to change, but I didn't realize it because of how well he had treated me in the beginning. And one thing that really shifted things was he started to ask a lot of like really invasive questions about my past, specifically about the skin color of the guys who I've been with in the past.
Stop.
Yeah.
What kind of questions is he using? Is he specifically going, have you dated someone that's not white?
So how this came up was that, so he's best friends with my cousin also, which is side note, but he's best friends with him. And the guy that I dated before a few years ago, he happens to be black. So he had made a comment before that like my cousin had told him that I only dated black guys, which is not true. And that was also the only guy that I'd ever brought around my family. So I'm like, that's a crazy assumption. And I'm also not close with this cousin. Like I see him maybe twice a year. So anyway, but I quickly cleared that up. I was like, that's not true. I'm dating you. He is a white man for context. Oh, he said, "Is that the only one?" And very, very indirect way to ask this question. And did I know what he was getting at? Yes. But like, say it with your chest. If you're going to ask me a question like that, then just ask the question. So I was like, I diverted the conversation. I was like, well, I was like, that's the only guy I ever brought home to my family. And that's kind of just kind of where I left it. So fast forward, this is shortly after we moved in together. It's a Friday night. He like went out to get pizza, came back. It was gonna be chill. Like we were gonna watch a movie, eat pizza. We started having sex on the couch and my phone starts vibrating and it's a FaceTime from this guy who like, he was honestly like my best friend in high school. And in college, we kind of became friends with benefits, but like it never went anywhere other than that. He also happens to be Black. And of course, like, it's not just like his name that pops up. Facebook imported a photo of him. And I'm not even like thinking about that. He just goes like, oh, who is so-and-so? Because I can't even see. I'm not looking at my phone. Like he just like looked over and sees it. I don't know why he asked this in the middle of this, but he goes, oh, is that like a guy you used to hook up with in college? And I'm like, why would you ask me that right now? Like, and in the moment, like it's, I was like, I compare it to like that meme with like the equations like spinning around. I have to make it a split decision here. Like, what am I going to say? I decided to go with the truth, which was wrong because I was like, it's ancient history. I was like, literally, it's been probably almost 10 years since I've even seen him in person. Like, we tell each other happy birthday, but that's really the extent of like what we talk about. So I say this and he immediately pulls away and he has this like look of disgust on his face. And he goes, you said there was only one, just starts getting really angry. And he's like, you misled me about this. Like, you know what I was asking you. He's referring to that other conversation where he asked this very vague question in an indirect way. He's like, I misled him about this. I knew exactly what he was asking when he asked that. And I chose to mislead him about this. It like turns into this whole thing. And the next day, like this argument like carries over into the next day. And he asks me like if there's any more that he needs to know about. And I'm like,
okay. So, I have to ask a clarifying question here, just so I'm not just reading between the lines. Yeah. Is he asking because he wants to know how many guys you've slept with, or is he asking how many men of color you've dated specifically? Like he wants to know that you've dated 4 Black guys specifically, or he just wants to know how many guys have you had sex with?
So he never came out and asked that question specifically, but what he was getting at was how many Black guys have I slept with?
Oh my God.
That's absolutely what he wanted to know. The mask had started coming off also around like this time. He started getting real like loosey-goosey with the N-word, made a lot of jokes about like how, basically insinuating that I have like a fetish, saying like that I like love BBC. And I told him, I was like, I don't like those jokes. Like, honestly, it makes me uncomfortable. Please stop doing that. He stopped for a minute, but like eventually picked it back up. And so like, there's like all of these other things, like all the jokes, all the comments, and now this. And I'm like, it's really giving that like, you don't like that I've been with Black guys before. That's what it's giving. He wouldn't like come out and say it. So the next day after this happens, he asked me if there was any more. And I just threw out a number because I just so badly wanted to stop talking about this. So I said 3. There was more than 3. But again, like, it's none of his business, truly, truly none of his business, and irrelevant to our relationship. And in hindsight, I wish I would have just told the truth because probably could have avoided everything that came after this. But so he accepts that answer, but like, he keeps bringing it up like throughout, like he doesn't believe me, but like also won't just like come out and ask the direct question like you said it. Those like jokes and stuff continue. The constant like criticizing me that I'm not doing enough. I don't plan enough dates. I don't spend enough time with him. I prioritize my friends over him. All of that is a constant. Fast forward, and we're going on a family vacation with my family. First family vacation we've gone on. Also the only vacation that I paid for also. But we're going on a cruise with my family. It also happens to be my birthday. We're not going for my birthday, but it just happens to fall while we're going to be gone. So we're going on a cruise to Bahamas. We're going to go down early and like do Disney because he had never done that before. Keep in mind, like, we were actually fine before this trip. We were getting along. We weren't arguing. We were good. On the way, he gave me my birthday present early before we left, and he had gone out and bought real jewelry, and like, no one's ever like bought me like actual like real gold or real diamonds. So he like went out and bought this like little J pendant necklace. Like, he picked it out. It was expensive. He made a point to tell me that too. So he gives me this gift, and like I'm thinking this is gonna be a great trip. Like we're gonna have so much fun. We're gonna bond with my family more. But on the way down, like he starts getting irritated with me about little things. The first day that we are in Florida, we were gonna go to Epcot. We had very loose plans. Like all we said we were gonna do was we were gonna get breakfast and go to Epcot. Like that's it. There was no time parameters around this. So the next morning, he wakes me up and immediately is pissed off. And I'm like, how have I already upset you? I haven't even opened my eyes yet. And he was upset that I had like slept in, even though again, like we didn't have any like specific wake up times or anything like that. He was upset about that. So like I hop up, I don't even like take a shower. I just get dressed. I'm like, let's go. Clearly he is very ready to go. We do that. And then we get to Epcot and like, I can't even remember how this started. I think like I had mentioned going to Magic Kingdom maybe a couple of times after Epcot, but hadn't looked into it. He runs into somebody that he knew that worked at the park that told him that they could get us in the next time. And I mentioned again, I was like, could they get us into Magic Kingdom? And he just immediately is like, can we just enjoy the moment? Like, why do you have to think about what's next? Like, why can't we just enjoy the moment? Snaps at me about this. And that turns into a whole argument. We start fighting at Epcot. We get back to the hotel and he says he is not going to go on the cruise. And I'm like, yeah, you are. You're going on this cruise. Like, you're not leaving me. First of all, just like abandoning me on this family trip. And then on my birthday, no less. Like, that's not happening. And he insisted that he was not going to go. And I am not normally a fan of an ultimatum. But with this, I was like, if you leave, I'm done. Like, you're not going to do this. You're sending like a very big message if you don't come on this trip. Eventually, he says he'll go, but we need to talk when we get back. So I'm like, fine. Seems like everything was going to be fine. The beginning of the cruise was fine. We're hanging out with people. We're having a good time. But like when we were alone, he would just, it was like the air got let out of him. He's a very charismatic, like charming person. So around everybody else, he was acting like completely normal. But around me, he was acting very differently. So I brought it up. I was like, I feel like you already know how you want this conversation to go when we get back. I was like, I feel like you were just completely checked out. Like, I feel like you kind of made up your mind. I was like, but you're just not saying that. And he goes, yeah. He's like, I am done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. We're both unhappy. We're just not compatible. He said we could try again, but we'd just be wasting our time. Never going to work out long term. And I'm like devastated and shocked because like he is standing his ground on this. Like he is standing on business. Like there is nothing to talk about. Because I even asked him, I was like, can we just like take a pause and like, can we just talk about this when we get back? Like when tensions are a little bit lower. Nope. Nothing to talk about. He's done. And also, this is like halfway through the cruise. So there's still like 2 full days left on this ship where we are trapped in this cabin together. Cannot escape it. I think he probably would have like swam back, honestly, like if he wouldn't have been eaten by shark.
He's like, how do I get one of these lifeboats?
Yeah. He almost like bought a plane ticket like out of the Bahamas back home. But like that was going to be like insanely expensive. So he decided against that. But yeah. So like he stood his ground for the next couple of days, acting like very like nonchalant. It was crazy. No emotion. Obviously, I'm devastated. I'm crying. Like, I can't leave the room because I can't go more than 5 minutes without crying because this man also like has told me that he wants to marry me one day. I mean, literally a month before this, he's like, I really do just like see you being my wife one day. A month before, just devastating. Not devastated anymore. I realize now it was for the best. So we get back home and I, at that point, was like thinking because we had like a couple arguments before where like he had threatened the relationship. He started doing that a lot too. Every time we got an argument, it was like, I can't, if we have one more argument, I'm just done. We get back home and I was thinking that he would calm down, realize that he acted irrationally and change his mind, but he didn't. I decided, because we're living together at this point, so I decided I have to move out. Like, I can't. We still had another 6 months left on the lease. So wow. I'm like, I can't stay in this house for 6 more months with you. Like, I can't work with you and live together. I move out. We're not on, like, speaking terms for a few weeks, probably. And then he reaches out at some point and we talked. And at first it seems we were both taking accountability about things we could have done differently. At first it seems like we were communicating better. But then he brought up that situation again that happened previously where my old friend called me.
The FaceTime and, call.
Yes. So he brings it up again, basically like still telling me he doesn't believe me. And at this point, I'm just like, whatever. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't care. I was like, I literally remember saying like, this is about to go so bad. I'm just going to say it. And whatever happens, happens. So I told him the truth that it was more than what I told him. And the look on his face is just, I've never seen someone look more disgusted because we were FaceTiming. And he goes, I'm no longer interested. And he hung up.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So immediately I'm just like, I feel like, well, there it is. This is what I was afraid of. This is why I didn't tell him the truth in the first place, because I had this fear that he was going to break up with me. And at that point, like, we had just moved in together. This is what I was afraid of. And this is exactly what happened. That happened. We didn't speak for a while. And there was like a work happy hour, maybe like a week or so after that. Of course, people at work know everything that's like going on. Like, people know. So for like a week, we were on speaking terms. And then all of a sudden we weren't. So like people were asking me like, what happened? I thought you guys were like talking again. So, and I had a couple glasses of wine. So I was a little loose. And I mean, I told them exactly what I told you, that like all of this stuff has happened. There was all the jokes, all the invasive questions, what happened when I got that FaceTime, like all of this leading up to, and then I tell them the truth. And then that happened. So he got upset with me about that. And so then he told our mutual friend, because he heard that I was talking about this. So then he told our mutual friend that he would get us both fired for having sex at work. He would go to HR and get us both fired. So he would self-destruct to get back at me for this.
Stop.
He also said that he would move out of the house and stop paying so that it would ruin my credit. Again, which would also like ruin his credit. But again, like willing to self-destruct to get back at me. Eventually that died down a little bit. I found out from a mutual friend that we work with that he is moving away. And I'm like, okay. Like, so maybe like, I don't know, maybe like a week after I find this out, I reached out to him and I didn't even know if he would respond or anything. And like, I just wanted to say it got really ugly and it didn't need to. I talked some shit. I was mean on purpose. It didn't need to get there. I do apologize for my part. Good luck. We started talking again and it seems like we were getting into like the nitty gritty issues. Like I brought that up that I felt like he really did have a problem with the race of people that I've slept with in the past. And I brought that up and he insisted that it wasn't about that. That would never be an issue for him. It was just the fact that I lied about it, because what else would I could I have lied about if I would lie about something so small? And I'm like, I get that to an extent, but like also take some like self accountability here and like realize the things that you have been saying to me for months. Like I didn't just pull this theory out of my ass. You do all of these things, like it points to this being the issue. But again, just insist that it's just the fact that I lied about it. And I still couldn't like wrap my head around it, because I'm like, are you really gonna sit here and tell me that you've never lied to me about anything? Like big or small, I don't know. I had food in my teeth one day and you told me I looked, I don't know, like just anything. Because I felt like that was an irrelevant detail. You've never omitted anything. Nothing, wouldn't admit to anything like that. So anyway, he moves. We're still in communication every day though. And then he comes back for Labor Day weekend, but it is so clear that he doesn't give two fucks anymore. So just refused to like commit to any sort of alone time together. Like he was staying with his family, totally understood that. But this man like would a year ago drop everything for me. The fact that he couldn't even like commit to like just grabbing drinks or dinner or anything like over the 4 days that he was here. it was very clear that, like, okay, you just actually don't care about this anymore, which was hurtful because he made it seem like he was willing to try again. At the end of that weekend, we did get brunch with some of our old coworkers together. But, like, I mean, that wasn't alone time. Like, he would have gone to that regardless if I was there or not. The actual brunch, like, it went fine. But after that, I pretty much told him, I can tell you're not really into this. I'm not going to be reaching out anymore. I don't need to keep feeling like this for somebody that, like, used to be obsessed with me, literally. And he never responded. So he ghosted me. And then, though, remember, he's friends with my cousin. My cousin got married, so they had a wedding reception. And I had found out that he was going to be there because he was his best man. I had prepared myself. I was like, I know I'm going to see him. It's fine. Like, I'm not going to engage with him. I'm just going to go in, spend time with my family, enjoy myself, look hot, of course, get to the wedding. Me and him did not interact. Then my cousin's sister, who is also my cousin, knew him growing up very well, too, because they've been friends since, like, middle school. So pretty much that whole, like, side of my family. So my cousin, who is his friend's younger sister, she, like, later on in the evening, like, this is almost towards the end, she, like, pulls me aside and she was like, I was trying to tell you this at Christmas, but she was like, and this happened a long time ago. She was like, it was, like, before, like, you and him got together. She was like, but there was one night that we were all drinking together and the guys left. And she said, like, I admit I was, like, drunk and lonely. So I called him, and she had also, like, and he had told me this, that she had, like, kind of always had a crush on him growing up. She said that she called him, but he came back, and she said that they started making out, and then he pulled his dick out, in the very beginning, he had told me about this, but not that part. What he told, the version that he told me was that they were all drinking together. At some point, she came on to him, tried to kiss him, but he was like, no, like, you're my best friend's sister. You're drunk. Like, I can't do this. He painted the picture that he is not interested at all. And for the truth to really be that, like, you were more than interested, like, you came back. You pulled your dick out. You made out with her. Obviously, you are attracted to her. And she's a beautiful girl, so I don't blame that. But, like, so obviously he lied to me about this. And this was, like, he told me about this, I think, before we even put a label on it. This just goes to show, like, how manipulative he was. Because after he told me about this, like, I really trusted him. I was like, you know, you didn't have to tell me about this. I just felt like that was really honest. And I felt like I could trust him after that. But turns out, you know, he was just trying to get ahead of it while getting ahead of it, also making me feel like I could trust him. And I remember at Christmas, me and her had, like, gone upstairs into my aunt's room. We were like talking, but we had only been up there a couple minutes, and storms in. And he is, like, practically drags me out of there. So, like, we didn't actually get into anything, but I felt like she was about to tell me about that then. Just so much other stuff in life came up that, like, I kind of forgot about that. But when she told me about this at the wedding, I was like, I do remember you starting to bring this up and him dragging me out. So, yeah. So it turns out he lies. Again, like, it's just another check in the column of my original theory that what he is really upset about isn't the fact that I lied about it, obviously. So that was just infuriating. I kept my composure, though, because he's still at this event while I'm learning about this. Definitely wanted to go up and throw a drink in his face. That probably would have made the story a little bit more interesting, but I did decide to keep it together and not explode on him. But then I did find out that after I left, that same cousin came on to him a bunch of times and tried to hook up with him again.
He's like, hang on, I have to get something off my chest real quick so I can feel better about doing this. And
It was crazy to add, like, insult to injury. Like, then my cousin tried to hook up with him again.
Did they successfully hook up?
So I heard about this because he told this to one of our mutual friends at work. So what he said is that they did not, but he said that he could have if he wanted to. He also said that he could hook up with everybody in my family if he wanted to. Like, just saying, like, really wild things. It was crazy. My friend also asked him, because she also heard, like, firsthand how upset he was about the lie that I told. And so after she learned about all of this, even she was curious, what is your problem? Like, why did you like hold her to the fire for this when like you knew all along that like you had lied about something pretty big and like not irrelevant to our relationship? This is about my family, people that I'm gonna have to see for the rest of my life, and you kept me in the dark about that. So I feel like he just did a lot of projecting is really what I think happened in the end. Never got to confront him about that. I'm hoping that one day I am able to get it off my chest to him, but in the meantime, I've realized you have to create your own closure. Like, can't rely on them to give that to you. So I am at peace knowing that, like, it truly was never going to work out, ever.
And you know what? Listening to the story, I don't want it to work out for you. There is not one thing I've heard that I'm like, you know what? Sounds like a really good fit for you here. From the hypocrisy of him holding that lie in your entire relationship and then holding you to a completely different standard, which I guess he wasn't really even holding you to a different standard, because I guess we can read in between the lines and realize he was upset for the reasons maybe we're assuming or inferring he was upset by. Which, do you think, in your opinion, do you think that had more to do with problems with race or insecurity in his manhood for stereotypical reasons?
Both. And I will tell you exactly why. He became like very insecure, especially like when we went to Ireland. He was like a complete wreck. This man just thought I was gonna like hoe around Dublin or something. I'm like, I told him even before we started dating, like I didn't have the apps. I hadn't been on a date, hadn't been intimate with anybody in over a year. Like, I was not interested in dating. So I'm like, I don't know why you think now that I'm in a relationship, I'm just going to turn into this big slut. But like, okay. So he started becoming very insecure around like that time. And
yeah, I remember he dumped you right after Ireland. Yes. It was like, the fuck? You should have done this before Ireland.
Yeah. And that was because we had been talking about moving in together then, but I wanted to like pump the brakes. And then we moved in together anyway. So like, he thought I was going to break up with him. So like, that's how I justified that whole thing, which shouldn't have justified anymore beyond that. But he started getting very insecure. One day he was talking about a TikTok. He was like, somebody was talking about like their girlfriend, like told them that they were the perfect size. And he was like, oh my God, I would kill myself. Like, if my girl said that I was the perfect size. And I was like, why? Like, I was like very confused about that. Cause I'm like, that doesn't seem like an insult. And also my ex before, like years before, had somehow it came up that he said like a girl in college told him that one time. And he was like, she told me I was perfect size. Like, he was like that made him feel real good. So like, I'm just confused by that statement, like why you would be offended by that. Uh-huh. And I was saying like, I was like, I do think that though, because like one thing I cannot talk shit about, he was working with something. So I was like, I do think that though. Like, and he just like got so offended, so offended. And I was like, I'm not saying it in a way like, oh no, you're perfect. No, I think you're perfect. Like, I really do. So it was things like that, little things like that, that he was like, got very insecure about. And I think he also was taking like stereotypes in mind and just had this whole idea in his mind. So yeah, I think it was a combination of both. I think it was insecurity. And I think it was also the racial stereotypes around that.
Well, it's funny, we were actually talking about insecurity in the studio today. And I can't remember what the exact quote somebody said was, but I was like, God, this is so true when it comes to perception. 10 people can hear the same thing. Like, you can say the same sentence to 10 different people. Mm-hmm. And based off of what you believe about yourself, your mind is constantly trying to reinforce whatever you believe about yourself, whether that's negative or whether that's positive. So if this guy in his mind thinks he's inadequate somehow, and you say you're the perfect size, and his mind, he's thinking, oh my God, well, she's saying that because the perfect size is because it's small, and she's trying to make it sound like being small is a good thing. Right. Whereas your other boyfriend, who maybe was packing, I don't know, I wasn't there, but he feels good about himself, and you say you're the perfect size, and he's like, yeah, I am the perfect size, because he feels good about whatever he's working with.
Exactly. Exactly.
God, I mean, I wish I could credit some kind of therapist or person to that, but it was really just like a random conversation we had in the studio today where I'm like, God, that is so true. And listen, like, we're all guilty of it, where you can be in a situation and you could see the same thing go down, and you can feel insecure about something because of something that's going on in your head. Like, the way perception can warp just literally the most innocuous of moments is insane. Well, I'm glad you're out of this relationship, because I know for a minute you were really struggling there. What have you learned about yourself coming out of that relationship? Like, in hindsight, having experienced everything that you just did, what are you taking away from that relationship and that breakup?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've learned is this sounds so obvious, but I have always struggled with it, trusting your gut. Because there were things in the beginning that I justified because he's very convincing. And they were things that still like sat with me that like just I could feel it in my stomach that like even though I was like justifying it in my head, I didn't feel right about it still. The fact that he has a kid that he has no relationship with and also refuses to like get a DNA test to verify, like that's a whole other thing. But that was one major thing that I knew in the beginning that like, which is one reason why I just didn't really give him much attention in the first place, like that on top of other things. But I knew that I didn't feel right about that. And I should have listened to myself. I should have taken the first signs that he wasn't really serious about this. Like when he broke up with me via text in the middle of the day after Ireland, I should have taken that as like, this man, he's not serious about this. Like you break up with me via text after you told me that you want to marry me. You're not serious about this. So trust your gut. And if something seems too good to be true, that's because it probably is. Because I remember saying that to myself a lot in the beginning because it was so wonderful at the start. I told my friends, I was like, it just feels too good to be true.
That is the number one piece of advice I hear over and over again on this podcast is trust your gut, trust your gut, trust your gut. So yeah. I'll ask you a follow-up question that I don't think I've ever asked anybody who's given that advice. Cause usually by that point we've kind of hashed out everything.
Yeah.
But why not listen to your gut? Like, why do you think in those moments where you felt a tug on your soul to get out that you chose to stay in that relationship? Like what kept you in there?
That's a great question. Part of that is just a lack of trust that I've just always had, like, because the last relationship that I was in was really horrible. I ignored some very obvious red flags there. I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself to like be able to decipher those red flags in the future. And even though so that's why I like took such a long break from like dating anybody that I was like, I need to find myself again. I need to start living my life again. And then this guy kind of just like comes like out of nowhere. So I think maybe it was also like the element just kind of being like just taken off guard by this, like this person that was kind of under my nose the whole time. And I think also, I mean, he was just very convincing, He definitely puts on the good guy act. He is Captain Save-A-Ho, like truly. I mean, I remember, and this is before we even started dating, like at another work conference, like one of our friends who is a girl, she's like 25. She got way too drunk at like the casino and lost her ID. And like he went around the whole casino looking for it for her, made sure she got into her room, like made sure she was up to get to the airport the next day. Like, and he would do that for like anybody. Like he just goes out of his way to help people. And I felt like, you know, maybe I just like misjudged those small things about him. Like, he's shown that he's a good guy in other areas. He puts on a good show, which makes it even harder, I think, in the future to be like, how do I trust my gut going forward? Still figuring that out. I think I do know now that I just need to give it more time. Also, I think that's something that will be the true test because although my intention was to take it slow in the beginning, it kind of started slow, but then it just took off, like moved in together, did the whole thing, like, very quickly. Slow burn, but then it just took off. And I think I won't be doing that again also.
Taking it slow is good. But I think also when you were describing the beginning of the relationship, I remember thinking, God, this is what every mom, aunt, sister, best friend describe when they say, give the nice guy a chance. And I'm going to assume, based off of everything you said in the beginning, that this guy who you weren't initially attracted to, who's treating you so well, you probably in the back of your mind were like, well, I don't want to give this guy a chance. Like maybe, you know, this is the type of thing people say over and over again. Like he's treating me so well. Like I need to take that for what I'm seeing and give this guy a chance because he's showing me he's the nice guy. But sometimes those nice guys turn out not to be.
Totally. This relationship is just so different from my last. Like my last relationship, I was very attracted to him, like from the jump, very attracted. I think that's why I stayed so long, but that's again another thing. But like with this guy, like I really did have to get to know him to fall for him. And I felt like you said, give the nice guy a chance. Like, this is the kind of guy that I should want to be with. So let me give him a chance. It felt honestly like kind of like the universe was like rewarding me almost. This guy who has been like under my nose this whole time. Like, you just kind of hear about that stuff where like the person that you kind of least expect like shows up in that way. And like, he was just so amazing to me, like just kept getting better and better. And I just felt like, wow, like, and also I was just turned 30 when we started dating. So I was like, I had to wait such a long time. I had to go through the ringer, like with this other guy, but it's worth it because now I'm being like, I have this reward at the end of it, but not so much. Ended up another lesson.
In hindsight, looking back on that relationship and everything you learned, like if there's anybody that's sitting here is like, oh my God, like I'm sitting in a relationship where I feel the exact same as how you describe, like what would you tell that person? How would you encourage them to get out of it? Or what advice would you give them?
I think what's tricky about these kinds of guys is that they do all the love bombing in the beginning and you're like convinced that they're still giving you this treatment even though it has slowly changed over time and they're actually not treating you the same way anymore at all. And I think it's important to like, I think if I would have sat back and really thought about how am I be treating now compared to the beginning, like it's just not the same anymore. And I think just be honest about it. And if you have been expressing these things, now you don't feel the love anymore. You feel the criticism, you feel the judgment, you feel like you're never good enough, like you can never win, nothing you ever do is gonna be right. I think that's when it's time to start questioning maybe how it was in the beginning just wasn't sustainable and that wasn't real. And what it is now is not a good fit anymore. And keep trying to like, I kept trying to go back to the beginning. I'm like, we can get back there. But like, it wasn't real. It was never real. He had a mask on. The things that he claimed to like love about me in the end were things that he was like, these were just not compatible. He always knew that I liked to sleep in on vacation. And when we went out the first time, he let me sleep and brought back coffee and was like, I didn't want to wake you up. And then in the end of it, it's like, I'm getting yelled at before I've even opened my eyes. Things like that. I was rambling there, but
No, that what you said was so good because how many people have looked back on the first 3 months of their relationship and just thought, well, I had it, so we can,
yeah,
it's there. I'm not dreaming this. It was so good. And the reason they cling on to that relationship is because you're trying to get back to that. And yeah, so many people can't get back to that because that 90-day free trial, man, when it's up, it's up.
It's up and it was up.
Tune in on Thursday for a breakdown bonus episode where I will be bringing my guy friends on to talk about male insecurities in relationships. What are some of those weak spots that guys are hiding while they're dating somebody? And how can the women in their lives be more supportive? This is kind of a loose off-topic expansion on this week's episode, but I'm trying my best here. I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.